I want to share with you tonight from 2 Kings chapter 4. And this is about the Shunammite woman. What probably many of you know this story, but I want you to really go with me into this story because I want to bring out some things that maybe you've never seen before about this woman. And Father, we give you this time and we thank you for your holy word that is able to encourage us, to strengthen us, to correct us, and to teach us. And we open our ears right now to hear from you, to hear from the Holy Spirit and his presence that's here right now to teach us. We take from you, Almighty God, we take your presence right now. We acknowledge your presence right now, and we thank you for your presence. Because you are the teacher in this place. And we put our full dependency upon you. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we start in chapter 4. And we start in verse 8. And it says, now it happened one day that Elijah went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there and eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he will turn in there. And it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. So as you know, or maybe you don't know, but in the Old Testament, in those times, when God raised up a prophet, they were, when they did signs and wonders, it was like to the people, that's as close to God as you could get, was to see this sign and wonder or to be close to that prophet. And so for her, you can see that she was hungry to know God. She was hungry to be around this prophet. I mean, to the point that she was even going to, you know, build a room for him that to make sure that if he did come, he would stay at her house. So she was opening the door for God, just like you and I, when we make time for him. We're opening the door for him. We want to be with him. We want to know him better. But we have the Holy Spirit. Now, she didn't have the Holy Spirit, so being around the prophet was the only way for her. Well, I just want to tell you a little bit of where I come from, because in the former Soviet Union, during communist time, there were Christians. And there were prophets. And I know one particular woman who was a prophet. She was such a prophet that, and God's presence would come so mighty that they would have prayer meetings. And they had to call the fire department because they saw the fire on the building, the tongues of fire on the building. And they called the fire department. And so the people, they didn't have the word. See, they didn't have the word, but they could get close to a prophet. And she was experiencing God. So this was really a lot like what was going on in the Old Testament for Elijah and for this woman. And she made this place for him. And so he said to Gehazi, his servant, in verse 12, call this Shunammite woman. when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to a king or a commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. And I want to point that out, ladies. This was a humble woman. She wasn't like, you know, like, well, finally, I've been feeding you. I have a place for you. Finally, you're going to do something for me. She said, no, you don't have to do anything for me. I dwell among my own people. And then, so then in verse 14, so he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son and her husband is old. So he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And ladies, I think this is funny because in verse 12, it says she stood before him. In verse 15, when he calls her, she stood in the doorway. And I think that she wanted to be so close to this prophet that she just stood right there at the door. And that if he had opened the door, she would have fallen in because she's just, you know, she wanted to know what was going on with that prophet. And so now she stands before him. And then in verse 16, then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elijah had told her. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to his servant, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Now, ladies, I mean, I'm sure there's so many mothers in this room. And I cannot imagine. My one of our boys were sick, and then I'm just holding him in my lap, and then after a few hours, he just dies. Can't even imagine what this is like. But ladies, I want you to see what this woman is like. Now, she's already had one miracle, and that's good because her child is a miracle. She's got that encouragement, but she doesn't know about anybody being raised from the dead. She's never heard about anybody being raised from the dead. But look what she does. She immediately goes into action. This woman is not planning a funeral. She's planning a resurrection. I want to emphasize, ladies, she's planning a resurrection. It's not just going to happen because, you know, it's written here in the Bible. This is a real story, a real woman with pain, a real woman who lost her child in her lap. And she, in that moment, is planning a resurrection. She remembers what God did. She remembers that child is a miracle. And she refuses for that child to not be able to raise that child. And she, in her time of this huge trial of holding this dead son, she's planning a resurrection. I think she has great faith. I think it's amazing. The next verse says, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. I think that's amazing. The emotions that she is refusing to let run her. She's immediately in action to put the child on the man of God's bed. She's not planning a funeral. She's not calling the doctor. She's putting the child, the dead child, on the man of God's bed. What was the man of God's bed? It was the closest thing to God. In her house, it was the closest thing to God. And she gets her problem, her situation, as close to God as she can. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door. I think that's amazing too. I mean, our emotions, I mean, I just cannot imagine your emotions and you shut the door on your dead child. But she wasn't just shutting the door on her dead child. She was leaving her child on the closest thing to God. And she went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back." And ladies, I think that's awesome. She's going to run to the man of God and bring the man of God back. She's already got a plan. The bed's okay, but I'd rather have the man of God. She's going to run. She's confessing it. She's saying it. I'm going to run and I'm going to come back. Yeah. It's like Abraham when he said, "I'm going to go up there and the son and I, we're coming back down." Yes. Not even entertaining anything else. And ladies, I think it's so important for us in the things that we face. Don't even entertain the thought of God not coming through. Don't even entertain it.
That's right.
Because one thought of doubt and unbelief will lead to another thought of doubt and unbelief. But one thought of faith and confession and believing and standing will lead to another thought of believing and standing. And she's planning. Oh, she's planning. So he said, her husband, "Why are you going to him today?" Isn't that amazing? He doesn't even know that his son is dead. She's not even telling him. So he said, "Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon or Sabbath." And she said, "It is well. It is well." She already believed that man of God was going to come to her house and raise her son from the dead. Hallelujah. Then she saddled a donkey and said to the servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." 25. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman." 26. Please run now to meet her and say to her, "Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." She's still standing. She's still believing. She has received her son from the dead. In her mind, she's already won the victory. In her mind, she's already got the miracle. A miracle that she never ever heard about. She's already got it. Oh, hallelujah. There is no problem too big for our God. Now, when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. Now, ladies, if Pastor Terry walked up here and I was sitting right there and I got up and I grabbed Pastor Terry's feet, would you think I was serious about wanting maybe to say something to her? get her attention. Well, the Shunammite woman, she was grabbing his feet. And look what happened after that. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone." Alays, I want us to stay there for a little bit. Let her alone. There are several places, and I want to take you there. Go to Mark chapter 14, it's this chapter here, and this is where Jesus is in the house of the leper. And all these men are sitting around, and they're all having dinner, and in comes this woman, and she pours out this costly oil of spikenard onto Jesus' head. And some, verse 4 of chapter 14 of Mark, and some were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted?" Now, ladies, just think, if you had, because this, it says later that this was worth 300 denarii. A denarii was one day's wage. So this is 300 days' wages, almost a whole year's wages. So think, if you had saved all your year's wages, and you bought something for someone to pour out on them because you loved them, because you wanted to bless them, because you adored them. Your whole heart, your whole being is involved in pouring that out on them. And someone walks up to you and says, "Why did you waste that?" That's where she was. And they judged her. And they said she wasted it. And they didn't just say it kindly. It says in verse 5, and they criticized her. They probably said, "Oh, you idiot woman. You don't understand the value of money at all. And look what you've done. And you could have given that to the poor. If you wanted to waste your money, you could have given it to the poor. But pouring on Jesus, that is a really waste." And it says that they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone." Ladies, when we want to get to God, when we're seeking God, when we're spending time with God, when we're sacrificing to be with Him, when we can't do anything. We can't hardly move the next movement if He is not with us. Have you ever been in that kind of trial where every step you take, you got to have Him for that next step? That's where she was. That's where that woman was. So desperate for Him. So desperate for Him. And she's criticized. And Jesus says, "You let her alone. Don't let anybody tell you that the dreams or the call on your life or what God said to you or the time you spend with Him is a waste and you're not going to reach your goal anyway. You ought as well give up. You know your past. You know what you can't do that. You're in a dream world. Don't you let anybody say that to you. And I'll tell you what, you don't have to defend yourself because God will defend you. And you can see it right here. He said, "Let her alone." And He said, this is His perspective about when we spend time with him and someone criticizes us for wasting our time. Or coming to this church and serving. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could do. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Has anybody ever defended you and they said, she? They said your name or they said your pronoun about you over and over again. And you're going, yeah, that's right. That's me. They're talking about me. He made reference to her eight times. He admonished her eight times. And what's even more amazing is what he says in verse 9. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. And here we are in 2020, and we're still talking about it. Ladies, we do not have to defend ourselves. He will defend us. And he's a great defender. And he has a way of rebuking those who come after us. And he says, let her alone. And that's what happened with the Shunammite woman. She is believing with every cell in her body for the resurrection of her dead son that is laying on a bed miles away from her with the door closed. She's believing with everything. Gehazi's ready to push her away. But Elijah says, you let her alone. Ladies, I don't know about you, but I needed to hear Jesus say, let her alone to some people before. And you know what? He did. And it's a wonderful thing to just be free and say, God, I'm doing what I can do. And it says that right there. It about the woman that poured out the alabaster box. Jesus said, she did what she could do. He wasn't asking her to do what she couldn't do. He wasn't rebuking her that she didn't do something else. He was admonishing her that she did what she could do. There's no place, ladies, among us for comparison. We do what we can do. And Jesus says, you're doing what you can do. Jesus said, she's doing a good work for me. Mary, Martha's sister, Lazarus' sister, when she poured out her ointment onto Jesus' feet, I thought it was interesting as I studied this, because this lady anointed his head, and Mary anointed his feet. Same time, and in the same city. And Jesus also said, because they criticized her, let her alone.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus knows how to stand up for us. Amen. Even if you're a team of one. Amen. and there's nobody else on your team, he knows how to stand up for you. And he will. Say amen.
Amen.
That's God's perspective. Don't we want to live by God's perspective and not our own perspective? Of seeing what he did for a woman whose son was dead. Of seeing what he did for a woman who poured out a whole year's wages onto him, onto Jesus. Of seeing what he did for another woman who poured out another expensive ointment on his feet and wiped him with her hair. And he didn't hesitate to say, let her alone. Oh, I thank God. Oh, I thank God. The Holy Spirit. He is able to speak. I'm telling you, he's able to speak to those that come after us, to those that don't understand us, to those that criticize us, to those that judge us. Na, 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 na. He is able to say, let her alone. And we're able to say, Lord, I'm seeking you with all my being. I receive your defense of me. And you can see it in the Word. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he still does the same thing. Amen. Amen. So let's go back to 2 Kings. And so here is, she's at his feet. She's at Elisha's feet. Gehazi is trying to push her away. Elijah says, let her alone. And he says, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. So she said, now she's talking to Elijah. Did I ask a son of my Lord? Of course, the answer is no. Did I not say, do not deceive me? Verse 29. Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready, take my staff in your hand, and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him. But lay my staff on the face of the child. Verse 30. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. She said, as God lives, and as you live, you're coming with me. Remember, this is a humble woman. But ladies, with humility comes great boldness. If you're proud, we can be covered up with fear. But if we're humble, we can move forward with boldness. And she is very bold. Very bold, because she said, as God lives and as you live, you're coming with me. I'm not leaving here. I'm not letting go of you until you come with me. That's what she said. And ladies, I want to encourage us right now, because the next verse says that Gehazi went ahead and he laid the staff on the face of the child, and there was no voice nor hearing. It didn't work. And I want to encourage us right now. We should not settle for the staff. Go all the way and believe for what you want. Don't let go. Don't let go of the dream. Don't let go of the impossibility. Don't let go of the desire. Don't let go of the call. Don't let go until you have in your hands and in your heart what you want.
Amen.
This pleases God.
Amen.
And she was not going to settle for a staff on her son. The child did not awake. Verse 32. When Elisha came into the house, there was the child laying dead on his bed. 33. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and laid on the child and put his mouth on the mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. Now, that would mean that that child was already cold.
Yeah.
This is a very impossible thing that's happening here. This child's already cold. But now, Elijah has put his eyes on his eyes, his mouth on his mouth, his hands on his hands, and now the child has become warm. Verse 35, he returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. We don't know how long that Elijah was with the child. It doesn't say that. We just know what he did. And he called Gehazi and he said, call this Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she came in to him, he said, pick up your son. So she went in, fell at his feet, bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. Hallelujah. She got her miracle. Is there anything sweeter than believing God, paying a price, staying up nights, spending the time with God, believing God, confessing, having scriptures all over your house, whatever you have to do, but then you get that miracle.
Yeah,
is there any sweeter thing than that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She got her miracle. She did not settle. We are not to settle. We are to push through. Many years ago, about 20 years ago or more, I was in a situation and I had gotten offended and I didn't know what to do with my offense. Actually, I didn't really understand that I was even offended. I just thought that this person's very wrong and they need to change. I had not read my book on gift of forgiveness, that's for sure. And I was struggling so hard. And I was struggling to the point that my hands became so cold that they began to hurt. My feet got so cold that they hurt. They were on all the time. This isn't just a little bit at the time. This is all the time. This went on for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. I began to have panic attacks. I had so much fear. 3 times, I felt like that the walls were closing in on me. I thought I was losing my mind. It was like a vice was on my head. For me to think normal, I had to just go and praise God and get my mind right. And I'm a minister. I'm supposed to have it all together. Well, I sure don't have it all together, and I don't even know what's wrong. But I was seeking God. Oh, I was seeking God day and night, seeking God, seeking God, seeking God. And in a way, I was like this Shunammite woman because I told God one night in the hotel when I was having sleepless nights and my family was sleeping. I grabbed a hold of the sink. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I grabbed a hold of that sink and I said, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm not letting go of you. I'm not letting go. And so it was a few more weeks. I was in another church. Rick ministered. I sang. And this prophet walked up to me. And he pointed his finger right here. And he said, you're a very sensitive person. And he said, you have broken places in your life, inside of you. And he said, in 24 hours, you're going to wake up in a different world. Oh, church, I'm so thankful for the gifts of the Spirit. Yes. In those 24 hours, I was able to verbalize forgiveness. I was able to see my situation from another perspective. I was able to forgive that person. I went to bed. And that next morning, just as the prophet said, I woke up in a different world. My hands were completely free, normal, normal, normal. My feet were completely free and normal and healed. And my mind was totally normal. It was like Jesus in the night. He put his invisible hand into my soul, and all the bitterness and all the confusion and all the anger. He just put his hand down in there, and he just went in there and ripped out all those tentacles out of my soul, and he just delivered me. But ladies, I fought for that. I didn't have the answer. Oh, yes, he's my answer. But I didn't have step one, step two, step three, step four. I didn't even know that I needed to forgive. But I didn't quit. We might not know step one, step two, step three, step four. The darkness can be so dark that you can't see step one, step two, step three, step four. But the Holy Ghost inside of you is greater than any trial or tribulation or problem or question or confusion that can come. Yeah. Or sickness or disease. The one in you is greater than all of that. And as we seek Him, what does it say? He says, as you draw close to me, I will draw close to you. It doesn't say, as you know, step one, step two, step three, step four. It says, as you draw close to me, Him, will draw close to you. When He draws close to you, He draws close with answers, with deliverance. Our part is not to quit and not to let go. Like the Shunammite woman. I want to tell you, that woman, she could have quit several times. I'll tell you, the Shunammite woman could have given up when her dead son was laying in her lap. She could have given up right then. Planned the funeral. She could have given up when her husband did not understand. She could have given up when Gehazi tried to push her away. She could have given up when Elijah said, I'll send my servant. But she did not give up until she got what she wanted. What do you want? What do you need? It's right there. That resurrection power. That same resurrection power that raised her son from the dead is right here. It's right here. Closer than our breath. Closer than our breath. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want you to stand to your feet. Let's just raise our hands to the Lord. We have a few minutes. I want to let you out by 9, but we have a few minutes. Raise your hands to the Lord. I know that some of you in this room, you desperately need a resurrection in some place in your life. I don't know if it's your marriage, it's another relationship, It's maybe some attitude that stinks of death, and you need resurrection in that attitude. Maybe it's your arm. Maybe it's your leg. Maybe, as they say, you don't have any movement in it. It's dead. But He is the resurrection. He is the resurrection. When Jesus gets around death, He messes it up and raises. He raises. He messed up that woman's funeral of her dead son. He walked up to that casket. And you know the Bible says, and I love it, it says, it's not that He saw the casket. It's not that He saw the crowd. It's not even that He saw the dead son. It said He saw her. Yes. It said He saw her four times. He saw her. Whatever, ladies, is hanging around that does not look like life in our lives, we can open that place right now and receive that resurrection restoring power. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a child. And there's death hanging around that child. You, with your faith, can grab a hold of that resurrection power and pull that right down into that child's life. Oh, Father, we honor You, Lord. We acknowledge the resurrection power. Your resurrection power that's in this room right now. You are the resurrected Christ. And You said You are the resurrection. You are the resurrection and the life. You bring life to dead places. Oh, thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Can we just pray in tongues together for just for a moment, all of us together?